This message is presented to you by Pastor David Lambert and Exceed Life Church in Virginia Beach, Virginia. For more information, visit exceedlifechurch.org.
Well, we are in a series, and a series called Jesus Revolution. And Jesus needs to be making a revolution in each one of our lives. You believe that today?
Amen.
And I love it. And we're discovering a little bit about Jesus. And I really believe the more you know about Jesus, the greater faith you're going to walk in and the greater peace and joy you're going to have. Do you believe that today? You got to know. So look at your name and say, know Jesus. And so we've been in. And we've been talking about Jesus. The first part of it, was that we talked about Jesus being our best friend. And Jesus has to be your best friend. Amen. You know, Jesus said to his disciples, I don't call you servants, I call you friends. Amen. Amen? And so how many people are friends of God in here?
Amen.
I don't want to be an enemy of God.
No.
I want to be a friend of God. Amen. And I love that in Hebrews 4:15, he's also our high priest. Yeah. It says in Hebrews 4:15, this high priest is our understands our weaknesses. For he faced all the same testings that we do, yet did not sin. So Jesus is, he qualifies to be our best friend, and he qualifies to be our high priest, because every pain that Jesus felt also.
Amen.
Jesus went through every experience of life that mankind goes through. And he's our perfect Savior. And he took our place on the cross. Amen?
Amen.
Number two, we looked at Jesus as being our miracle worker. And you know, Jesus is still doing miracles today.
Amen.
And it doesn't matter what you're facing in this life. It could be a doctor's report that may be telling you that you have no hope. But I'm going to say, in Jesus, you have hope. So it doesn't matter what the natural circumstances might say about your situation. The Word of God says something different. Do you believe that? And I believe the Word of God can change your circumstances. The circumstance is a circle that you stand in. Circumstance. And so that's number two, that Jesus is a miracle worker. And in Luke 1:37, it says here, for God, nothing will be impossible. The angel Gabriel said that to Mary, pertaining to Gabriel telling her that she was going to have Jesus. Amen. Nothing. Say nothing.
Nothing
is impossible with God, and nothing's impossible for those that believe.
Amen.
How many believers do I have in the house today?
Amen.
The devil's trying to get some of us not to believe. Amen. But I'm going to be a believing believer. Amen. Number three, we looked at last week, we looked at that Jesus is our shepherd. He's our shepherd. Amen. So I'm going to say this, that when you get Jesus in your life, you're not in this walk by yourself. Sometimes we go through circumstances that makes us feel alone at times, and the devil will try to make us feel lonely at times, but you're never alone. Jesus said, it's expedient that I go. If I don't go, I cannot send the Comforter. So each one of you have the Comforter abiding on the inside of you. You believe that today? I love that. So we have the Comforter in. In other words, we don't have to walk in fear, doubt, or unbelief. We can walk in faith and love. Why? Because the Holy Spirit's with us. Amen?
Amen.
Jesus said here that in John 10:11, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd gives his life for his flock. Amen?
Amen.
So Jesus gave his life. So today is Easter Sunday. And I want to focus on the Jesus as being the resurrection and the life. Amen? And, you know, there's a lot of things we can focus on about Jesus and the character of Jesus. And I'm going to give you eight truths that I really believe that can transform your life about Jesus this morning. How many people want their lives transformed?
Amen.
I don't know about you, but I don't want to be conformed to the world, but I want to be transformed by the Word of God. And we should be getting transformed every day of our lives as we spend time in the Word of God. So I'm going to give you some truths, some amazing truths that reveals who Jesus is. And first of all, Jesus was born of a virgin. Somebody say, I believe that. It's called the Immaculate Conception. You know, Jesus is not, you know, he's not in the same class as any other religious person that ever lived. Amen? You know, you have Muhammad, you have Buddha, you have these different people that are head of religions. And but Jesus is in a class by himself. None of these other religious leaders can even hold a candle. I don't know why you would want to follow Buddha. Now, I might get... I don't know why you would want to follow Muhammad. You know, none of them can touch Jesus. Amen. And what Jesus has done and what he has accomplished. Amen? I mean, just study out Jesus. You wouldn't follow Buddha to hell. Okay, I won't go there. You wouldn't follow Muhammad. Oh, you hear what I'm saying today? You'd follow Jesus to heaven. Amen? Amen. I want to say this, Buddha's still in the grave. Muhammad's still in the grave. But Jesus is not in the grave any longer. He has resurrected, glory to God. Amen. So Jesus was born of a virgin. In Isaiah, many years before Jesus was born, this is Isaiah the prophet, and he prophesied. And, you know, there's many prophecies in the Old Testament. A prophecy is a word from God that's going to reveal the future of what God's going to do. And so there's over 300 prophecies in the Bible pertaining to Jesus, and Jesus fulfilled all of them. That's powerful. And I love this in Isaiah 7:14. It says, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Notice it said virgin, because Mary was a virgin, glory to God. And the Bible's, and Mary didn't understand how she could have Jesus without a man. And Gabriel said the Holy Spirit will overshadow you. And the Holy Spirit will overshadow you, and you will conceive in your womb Jesus. So it's called an immaculate conception, glory to God. And so how did Mary receive Jesus into her womb? She just said, I believe it. How are you going to receive the promises of God in your life? You got to say, I believe it. Mary said, according to thy word, let it be done unto me. You need to start saying that every time you see a promise of God's word. You need to say, let it be done according to your word, Lord, unto me, glory to God. You know, there's thousands of promises in the Bible, and you can partake of all those promises. You believe that today? So Jesus, number one, was born of a virgin. Number two, Jesus performed miracles. You know, people in history, they might get a lot of accolades, and they may have wrote a book or that may seemingly be inspired by God. But did they do miracles? Jesus did miracles. And I love that Jesus did miracles. His first miracle was turning water to wine. And it says this, and Jesus, I'm going to say this, Jesus' miracles revealed who he was. I'm going to say it again, Jesus' miracles revealed who he was. In John 2:11, it says, the beginning of signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. Why did Jesus' disciples believe on him? Because Jesus performed miracles that nobody else could do. That's the reason why they believe. They were amazed at the miracles that Jesus did. Amen? I love this in John 10:24 and 25. It says the Jews surrounded him and said to him, how long do you keep us in doubt? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly. And Jesus answered them, I told you and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness. Now, when you see this, when it says works, some may say, well, that he's not really saying miracles. Well, really, you can see this because there's another account. It said that Jesus could do no mighty works in his hometown. And we know when he's talking about works, they're talking about miracles. So Jesus was saying to the Pharisees, you may not believe my words, but believe my miracles. Has Jesus ever done a miracle in your life? Have you ever experienced a miracle from God in this place? If you have, you know Jesus is alive and well, and he's working miracles. He's not the God of I was. He's the God of I am. Do you believe that today? And I love that. And so Jesus was born of a virgin. Jesus performed many miracles. Jesus' teachings are profound and life-changing. Out of everybody's teachings out there in the world, Socrates and all these other teachings, nothing compares to Jesus' teachings. Do you believe that today? And his teachings were amazing teachings that people quote Jesus today. And Jesus said this in John 7:16. Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine, because he who sent me. In other words, Jesus received his teaching from God the Father. And everything Jesus spoke, God revealed to him. And it was amazing that his teachings were revolutionary and would change the way we think. Amen? Number four, Jesus, this is amazing. This is what makes Jesus stand out above any other religious leader ever raised up. Jesus received worship. Jesus received worship. I love that. We know this, that last Sunday was Palm Sunday. And we know when Jesus came into Jerusalem, they laid palm branches down and they started worshiping Jesus. It says in John 12:13, they took branches and palm trees, went out to meet him, and they cried out, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel. So Jesus received worship. That's how you know that he is God in the flesh. Nobody should receive worship but Jesus. Can I get a witness in the house today? And so Jesus received worship, and so he's worthy of our worship. Number five, Jesus, this is amazing. No religious leader can do this. Jesus forgave sins. Jesus forgave sins. Muhammad could not forgive sins. And I'm going to say this, in spite of some religious systems saying that, you know, a priest can forgive sins, only God can forgive sins in Jesus' name. Amen. You got religious systems that say you have to go to a priest, but you just need to go to the high priest. Can I get a witness and I'll say, you need to go to Jesus. You know, instead of going to somebody that's a priest, when was your last confession? Father, forgive me for my last confession was last week. You know, now listen, now you just need to confess your sins before the Father in Jesus' name. And what? And God is faithful and just. He will forgive you of your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. I like this. It says in Matthew 9:2, it says, they behold, they brought him a paralytic lying in a bed. They brought this to Jesus. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, son, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven you. So I love that. So Jesus forgave sins even before he went to the cross. That's powerful. That means that he gave forgiveness of sins on credit. That means that he was already forgiving people of their sins before he actually went to the cross. That's powerful. That's powerful. On credit. Credit's not bad if you use it in the right way. Glory to God. As long as you're paying the monthly bill every month, you're not riding it on it on 30% interest. Amen? And so Jesus forgave sins. No other religious leader ever could forgive sins. Amen? Jesus claims he's the only way to God. Yeah. I want to say this. Jesus, there's no other religious leader that ever claimed that they were the way to God. And I love this. In John 14, 6, Jesus said to him, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. That should be a scripture that you should memorize, because there's going to be people out here that's going to try to tell you that there's many ways to God, that you don't have to go Jesus' way, that you could go Muhammad's way, that you can go Buddha's way. No, no, there's only one way.
Amen.
Amen. I hate to tell you that, but you know, but it's only one way. That's Jesus. It would be nice if there was many ways to heaven, you know, but there's not. Jesus said, I am the narrow way. And he said, broad is the way that leads to destruction. And many go that way. Why? Because many people want to create their own God. Amen. You can't make the Bible fit your lifestyle. You need to make your lifestyle fit what the Bible says. And many people are cutting out passages of the Bible and trying to make the Bible fit their lifestyle. I'm preaching today. But we got to make our lifestyle line up with the Bible. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Can I preach today? Amen. And so Jesus claimed that he was the only way to God. He said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. Amen. Jesus is the truth. Amen. There's no other truth. He doesn't just speak truth. He is truth.
Amen.
He is the life. He gives us abundant life. Jesus said, my words are spirit and they are life. If you want more life, get more word. If you want more life in your life, get more word in your life. Amen. I love that. He is the way, the truth, and the life. If you want more truth, get more word in your life. Amen. Number 7, Jesus walked in total obedience to God. This is a powerful statement. Jesus is different from every religious leader because Jesus is the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. He is. I'm not going to talk about Jesus' past tense because he's living today. He is, and he has walked total obedience to God. In Matthew 5, 17 and 18, it says, do not think that I came to destroy the law of the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For as surely I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled. So what is Jesus saying here? He's saying that he walked this life perfectly, amen, so that he could go to a cross and pay the price for mankind's sins. He had to be a perfect, spotless Lamb of God, amen? So these are amazing attributes of Jesus that I just spoke about, but the main one attribute of Jesus, the main one thing that I want to say, the main thing I want to get to is that Jesus is the resurrection and the life. Amen. Jesus was resurrected from the grave. Amen. Let's read this account in Luke 24, 1 and 7. It says, now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb, bringing the spices which they had prepared. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. And then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened, as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Then as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified on the third day and rise again. So this account right here reveals that the stone has been removed And, you know, they made up a story that the soldiers stole the body. Why would they do that? That doesn't make sense. They had soldiers guarding the tomb because they were afraid that the disciples would steal the body and make up a story. Amen. No, Jesus was raised that day, glory to God. And the angel said, why look for the dead among the living? Amen. And Jesus is alive today, glory to God. So let's look at the importance of the resurrection this morning and how that should be the pinnacle of our faith. And Paul talks about this in 1 Corinthians 15. Let's read this account here that Paul focuses on the resurrected Jesus. It says in 1 Corinthians 15, 12 through 17. Now if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say there's no resurrection of the dead? Back then, some people were saying that the dead could not be raised. Amen? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty and your faith is also empty. Yes, and we are false God because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ who he did not raise up. In fact, the dead do not rise, for the dead do not rise, and Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. So what Paul was saying here is that if Jesus was never raised from the dead, we would still be in our sins today. But, you know, he says in 1 Corinthians 15, 20, but now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. So don't doubt the fact that Jesus was raised from the dead. And if Jesus was raised from the dead, he can raise your dead old life too. He can raise your life to newness as well. Do you believe that today? Before I was saved, I was dead in my trespasses. But thank God Jesus saved me. And I'm not dead anymore. How many people are alive in Christ this morning? I love that. And so we got to get excited about the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ that's living big on each one of us. I love this, what Jesus said to Mary, or it may have been Martha, before he raised Lazarus from the dead. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? So I love that. If you have loved ones that believed in Jesus and they went on by the grave, they are in heaven today. Amen. They are walking on the streets of gold today. You don't need to mourn about your relatives that may have went on before you, because they are walking on the streets of gold, and pretty soon we're going to have a family reunion and we're going to be meeting them very soon. You believe that? Amen. I love that. And so we got to get a revelation of that. Jesus overcame death at the cross for all of us. I love what it says in 1 Corinthians 15, 55 through 57. Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. See, it says here that the strength of sin is the law. And the law is God's righteous law. And when we transgress God's righteous law, we have to pay the penalty, and God judges us for those penalties. But Jesus, he fulfilled the righteous law, and he paid the penalty for us so that we don't have to pay the penalty of our sin. Amen. We can receive the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. And so Jesus' righteousness is the end of the law. Glory to God. You believe that today? Amen. Amen. And so what Jesus accomplished when he went through his crucifixion, let's just read this, because I want to just give you some tidbits on what he accomplished. It says in Hebrews 11, 1 through 4, God, who at various times in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, had in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he had appointed heirs of all things, through whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become much better than the angels, he had by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. So let me just break this down. What did Jesus accomplish when he went to the cross and was raised from the dead? Well, he became heir of all things, number one. Number two, he upholds all things by his word. Jesus is upholding all things by the word of his power. Number three, Jesus purged mankind's sins when he went to the cross. Number four, Jesus sat down at the right hand of the Father, the place of authority, and Jesus has all authority over all mankind. Amen. Do you believe that today? Do you know who's going to judge you in that on the judgment day? It's not going to be God the Father. Jesus is the judge. And why? He qualifies to judge mankind. Why? Because he became a man. He became like us so that we could become like him. That's good, Pastor. That's good preaching. He became like us so that we can become like him. I don't know about you. The Bible says when we see him, we'll be just like him. I love that. There's a scripture in Psalms that says, I want to wake up in his likeness. I don't know about you, but when I wake up in the morning, I don't want to wake up in the devil's likeness. I want to wake up in his likeness. Glory to God. I love that. In Colossians, Paul kind of says it similarly about the resurrection of Jesus. He says this in Colossians 2, 13, 14. And you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh. See, before you got Jesus in your life, you were dead in your trespasses. And it says, he made us alive together with him, having forgiven you of all trespasses, having wiped the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having it nailed it to the cross. So let me break it down. Jesus made all believers alive with him, number one. Number two, Jesus, when he went to the cross, he gave us forgiveness of sins. Number three, Jesus wiped out any law that would condemn a believer. Amen. He wiped it out on the cross. And number four, Jesus nailed every sin that man could commit to the cross. In other words, there's no sin that man can do that Jesus won't forgive you of. That is a powerful statement this morning. So there's nothing that man can do. It can be the most heinous crime. You can be a serial killer. But if you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and I heard a testimony of a serial killer receiving Jesus as their Lord and Savior, and they got saved before they went and they were executed. They got caught. They turned themselves in. But they were saved. And why? Because there's no sin that Jesus won't, he will forgive you of any sin that you could ever commit. Do you believe that today? I love, that's great news today. Because you don't have to be condemned of your sins. The blood of Jesus, one drop of Jesus' blood can wash the greatest sinner's sin away. Do you believe that today? That's good news. I love this, what it says in Hebrews 8:12. It says, for I will be merciful. Somebody say merciful. I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their lawless deeds. I will remember no more. That's powerful. Why? Because God is the God of the new beginning. God is the God of the fresh start. God is a God that washes our sins away and brings us into a new life with him. Jesus' sacrifice puts us in right standing with God. I love that. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he who made him no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I'm going to say this to you this morning. Can I get out of my chair? I'm going to say this to you this morning, that If you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you're in right standing with God. You're not against God. You are with God. That's good news. Amen? I love that. And so let me just digress here and give you some information on what happened when Jesus, when he died. There were still some more things that Jesus did. And it says here in Matthew 12:40, it says, "For his journey was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth." And so what was Jesus doing in the heart of the earth 3 days, 3 nights? Well, in Colossians 2:15, it tells us, it says, "He disarmed principalities and powers, and he made a public spectacle of them, triumphant over them in it." What did Jesus do? Jesus triumphed over the devil in hell for us. That's powerful. That is a powerful statement. And I love that he taunted the devil in hell for us. In Revelation 1:18, it says this, "I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore, and I have the keys of Hades and death." What did Jesus do? He took the keys of death and hell from the devil. The devil doesn't have power over hell. Jesus does. And some of your relatives might be in a place right now that might not be too good, but Jesus can control the powers of hell in their lives. And just because some people may look like they're going the wrong way, you keep praying for them, because God will move supernaturally on their lives. You believe that today? I love that. And in Hebrews 2:14-15 says this, "Insomuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had power of death, that is the devil, and release those who fear death were all their lifetime subject to bondage." So what Jesus did when he was destroying the devil in hell, he was destroying the devil's power to put fear on mankind about dying. You should not be afraid to die if you are a Christian. Somebody say, fear not.
Fear not.
And I'm telling you, death is just a transference to heaven. It's moving from one place to another. And you should not be afraid to die. None of the apostles and all the apostles, except for John, died martyr deaths. They died confessing Jesus as Lord. And they weren't afraid to die a martyr's death. How many martyrs do I have in the room today? Glory to God. I'm telling you, we should not be afraid to die. Why? Because I'm telling you, your resurrection will be glorious. There's some, the Bible says, some would not recant Jesus because they wanted a greater resurrection. How many people want a greater resurrection in here? How many people want to be able to be raised up and have Jesus say, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." Amen. Enter in to the joy of the Lord. Praise God. I love that. So let's look at 1 Peter 3:18-19 as I close down. Jesus preached victory for 3 days in the grave. It says here in 1 Peter 3:18, "For Christ also suffered once and for all for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring to us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit, from whom he went to preach to the spirits in the prison." Notice that it says in 1 Peter, Peter got the revelation that Jesus preached to the prisoners. In a sense, they were prisoners. In hell, there was two compartments. Jesus explains this when he's talked about the rich man and Lazarus. And Lazarus ended up in the bosom of Abraham, which was a compartment in hell. And it was a cavern that divided hell and the paradise. And Jesus preached to those that were down there. And when he did and he was raised, they were raised. That's powerful. And you can study this out when Jesus talks about the rich man and Lazarus going to hell. Amen? So I'm going to say this, that Jesus also, when he was raised from the dead, he had to present himself to the Father and present his blood to the Father. Amen? In Hebrews 10, 19 and 20, it says, therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter into the holies by the blood of Jesus, by a new living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil of his flesh. So Jesus presented his blood on the mercy seat in heaven, and God received that blood as a sin sacrifice for all of mankind's sins. Do you believe that? And that blood enables us, as it says in Hebrews 4:16, to enter into God's holy throne room with boldness to obtain mercy in time of need. I'm going to say this, you can be bold in your prayers. Amen. Why? Because the blood of Jesus is working for you. Because the blood of Jesus can make you bold. You're not bold in yourself, but you're bold because of the blood of Jesus. And when you're encountering any circumstance or situation, sometimes you just might need to plead the blood. Sometimes you just need to plead the blood of Jesus over circumstances and situations in your life. Amen. And so apply the blood, because it's the blood that washes and cleanses us and speaks better than the blood of Abel's blood, glory to God. It speaks mercy and redemption, forgiveness and eternal life. Amen. I love that. So just to recap, what Jesus did was he made all believers alive with him when he went to the cross and was raised from the dead. He forgave all believers of sins, past, present, and future. He wiped out the law that condemned all believers, glory to God, and he nailed every sin on that cross that day. And so I'm going to say this to you today. You don't have to leave this earth without Jesus. All you have to do is ask Jesus to come into your lives. In other words, you just need to put Jesus on the throne room on the throne of your heart, glory to God. So I'm going to ask you to bow your heads this morning, and perhaps you're here today, or perhaps you're watching or listening to me, and you never made Jesus the Lord of your life. In Romans 10, 9 and 10, it says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes into righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made into salvation. So today, you can confess the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Just say it today if you're ready to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. Say, dear God, I believe Jesus died on the cross for my sins. I believe Jesus was raised from the dead for my justification. Today, I receive you as my Lord and Savior. Thank you for saving me. And Heavenly Father, fill me with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.
We thank you for listening to this message. For more information, visit us at exceedlifechurch.org.